in the tea room, and I would drink out of that the whole time.
Yeah.
And I would maintain.
Was this like the dirty little secret that everyone knew on your team?
I don't think everyone knew it.
And you would bypass Sean's locker.
I grew up between at bats.
I know you did.
There was one time, I didn't know, and I remember I was looking for something to drink with, like, medicine, like my ibuprofen. And I think Sean, I was like, oh, Sean, let me have some of your Monster. And he's just like, I don't know you that well. I don't know if I own it. And then I took it, and I was like, holy shit. Like, this is 95% vodka.
I was going to say, when he says it's a Monster vodka, it's not. It's a vodka Monster is what it is.
It's a vodka Monster.
With that, welcome to another episode of season 4 of 3½ Gentlemen, the podcast, where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, and one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me on the lineup are my co-hosts, Jeremiah.
I like the high ones. Yo.
Mule.
Mag.
Eddie.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
Oh, you can't do that. There's Ed. No, that crying. Was mine.
There's no crying in baseball.
And Brandon.
I was going to do the crying in baseball thing. Damn it. Okay.
I was about to do that.
I was going
to
do that.
But I was like, nah, you guys should do it. I feel bad.
Yeah. Well, Eddie.
This is our daughter, Dottie. Fuck. This is our other daughter, Dottie's sister.
Brandon, how about the hard quote? The hard is what makes it great.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that, because I'm going to talk about that quote later. That's why I didn't use it now.
Dirt in the skirt, May.
Dirt in the skirt would have been good.
There's so many great ones.
All right. Yeah, it was my turn. Huh? Sorry, there's so many quotes that we just kept going with. All right. Well, season 4, we're picking movies that we think will be fun to talk about. Some of these will be from our private collections, while others will be new releases in theaters or just really, really in the 90s, sometime like 93 or 94 or 92, private collection.
As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film that we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate the movie based on a scale of 0 to 5. 0 being a perfect film that you could watch stone cold sober, and 5 being sort of the film that makes you feel like you slid hard into home plate so you can get a nice, horrible raspberry. Hey, did you guys ever get raspberries when you would play baseball?
Oh,
like
nasty God, fucking horrible. Shit, dude.
Yeah. Before my pitching only days, I would slide and at the beginning of the season, and I would have like a continuous raspberry there that would open up and like just constantly get ripped up every single time.
It took me a really long time. Stay there forever.
Yeah.
like in college, I finally learned how to slide properly. And I just would slide on my calf leg area. Mm. And so you have your pant leg and your sock, but that was it.
Yeah.
And that thing would get like brutal. It would get like green and pussy and you'd have to like wrap it up. And then you have to switch to the other side or slide head first. It was just not good. It was never
good.
Am I going
to lose my leg this week? I don't know.
Sean had a nasty like pus. Yeah, it was like, bro. Stop sliding outside, man.
I mean, I'm pounding the dirt, right? I'm just like, it's just.
Yeah, dirt in the skirt horrible. For Sean. Oh, man.
With that, what movie do we have rounding third and heading for home tonight, gentlemen?
Well, in case you guys haven't figured it out yet, we're going to be taking a look at A League of Their Own. This 1992 sports dramedy, directed by Penny Marshall, follows two sisters, Dottie and Kit, in the early 1940s as they become part of the first ever All-American Girls Baseball League. Over the course of the season, we get to cheer on the players and head coach as they wrestle with baseball, low attendance, sibling rivalry, and the uncertainties of the era. The cast is led by Gina Davis and Lori Petty, which, I mean, that's a shout-out to Jeremiah right there. That's a zero movie just because Lori Petty is in it. Just saying.
Represent Laura Petty.
You know what?
Hey, just saying. And it also has an all-star supporting cast that includes Tom Hanks, Rosie O'Donnell, Madonna, and I'm going to throw this guy in here because I think he is one of my favorite character actors ever, and that's David Strathairn.
Underrated actor,
He is so fucking good at
David
everything.
Strathairn's fabulous. But you missed John Lovitz.
Well,
you missed fucking...
Yeah. Bill Pullman.
Bill fucking Pullman.
We're going to talk about Bill Pullman later on in this episode because, God damn it,
let's
man.
Talk about Bill Pullman now.
We can talk about Bill Pullman
like
now.
Mr. 90s. That guy, there was not a movie in the 90s that Bill Pullman was not in.
There's a reason.
He should have been a bigger movie star.
It's his hair.
A bigger movie star, I'm saying.
Have you seen his hair? Like it's great hair. It's fucking great.
He's got great hair today and he's like 80. Yeah. He looks fabulous.
I mean,
I'm sorry. Well, what do we got for a
well, I don't give a IMDb shit. Rating? I would love to just make this podcast about Bill Pullman.
Actually, I love Madonna in this movie, by the way, so I can't wait to talk about her because Madonna's fucking
And I will say, you know who I really like in this movie?
Rosie O'Donnell.
How about the blonde pitcher?
She was great. Everyone was great in this movie. Anyway,
Continue. Let's find out what our rating scores have been because the movie has earned an IMDb rating of 7.3 out of 10 and has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 81% and a critics and audience score of 84%. Fuck, I screwed up.
Every movie we review, we try to pair it with a cocktail that enhances the viewing experience. Ed, what cocktail do we have for this evening's wonderful baseball-inspired movie?
Yeah, let's see how bad this is written. So hold on 1 second. let me take a 58-second piss right now. Tonight, we're drinking the Rockford Peach and Bourbon Smash. For this drink, you'll need a half an ounce of brown sugar, simple syrup.
All fuck.
One large dice peach. 3 to 4 mint leaves, 4 ounces of bourbon, and some ginger beer or seltzer water. To make the Rockford Peach and Bourbon Smash, put the peaches, mint, and simple syrup in the cocktail shaker. Muddle it gently. Next, add the bourbon and some ice, and then shake the mixture up. Strain the drink in glass, top it with a ginger beer or seltzer water. Lastly, take a nice cool sip and enjoy some baseball. Just make sure you don't cry.
So you got to throw that in there.
That's a lot. That's true.
That's a great fucking cocktail.
It's a
fabulous cocktail.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, anything.
It was funny that Brandon and I both found this.
I know. I got to.
It's everything Brandon likes. It's sweet. It's got fruit. Yeah. It's perfect.
This is a good one.
Proudly.
But the best thing about it, it has like what Sean likes, 4 ounces of fucking bourbon. I mean, that's all you need.
It's got bourbon, but it's also got the mint leaves that I think is a little bit julepy.
The mint leaves.
I'm just throwing it out there. Sean, this is for you too, buddy.
I've never had a mint julep.
Oh my God. You need a mint julep.
Hear them call. The time has come.
For one and
all. To play ball. I'm sorry. How do we know we are the members of the All-American League. We come from cities near and far.
We got Canadians.
Oh, and Irishmans and Swedes. We're all for one. We're all American.
I'm not going to lie. Let's go. I was actually singing that in the shower the other day, and I was pissed at myself, and I was pissed at Eddie for picking this movie because I was singing
this
it in the
song shower. Song literally is a haunting song, dude. Yes.
When Ed picked this movie, I had this like warm feeling in my heart because this is a movie that, as a family, we watched forever. This was our family movie, and I'm looking back on it. It's like they're all the men in World War II, and these women are coming in to play baseball, and they are fucking great. They're really fucking good. Dude. And it's just what a great moment in American history where, if you look at Rosie Riveter, I'm a student of history. I taught it in college. I love this moment in history where women start to emerge as their own entity group. And it was just magnificent to witness throughout history. It's just beautiful.
I think this is one of the better sports movies out there that I think, that doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, So, and with that, man, cheers to the All-American Girls Professional Baseball Team because, fuck, dude, I mean, it was a real fucking thing. Looking at more research about it and shit, I mean, that is pretty fucking remarkable, dude.
They kept baseball alive at a period of time in history where baseball could have easily died off. But overall, I think it's a story that's forgotten, I feel like, in real history. And this movie, I think, is also a forgotten movie of sport movies and just all around just good family classic movies. And I think it's one of those it's a hidden classic, personally, for me.
My favorite sports movies are when there's an element of world tribulation going on and everything can be going wrong and everything can be falling apart, but in sports – your team triumphs. I look at Cinderella Man. I look at Miracle. I look at all these different movies where it's like it's set against so much bad that's happening in the world. And I don't think we did Private Ryan earlier this season. We've done a couple of World War II movies. I'm not sure the people of our generation can grasp how desperate people were in World War II, how poor they were, how they had nothing, they had no hope. And this sort of story, going and watching baseball on a Sunday afternoon and watching these women play, this was the hope. It was the American dream living despite what was going on in Europe. I use the term Americana, right? It's so American dream. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Cinderella Man did the same thing. So many good movies.
Well, see, Sean
definitely has fallen in the wayside.
I think that what you tend to gravitate towards is not the sports aspect of these movies, but it's sports is kind of the connecting glue, but it's not the parts, right? You're more focused on the story around it. These movies are sports movies that are not about the other things. It's about the actual sport itself. Friday Night Lights, I think, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And my favorite sports movie of all time, laugh if you want, is Little Big League. And I think that Big League is one of the greatest
Why
would I laugh?
Oh my God. Wrong with it you? Is,
King well, Jr., Randy Johnson?
Let me tell you. When I was growing up, this is a true story, we had an HBO copied over VHS tape. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you get the free HBO. We talked about this the other day. And I had recorded Little Big League. And growing up, I watched that movie during the summer at least once a week. Like, literally, I would watch it over and over.
Yes.
But one of the reasons I love that movie, and one of the reasons why other sports movies frustrate me, is that these are movies about the sport, and the quality of the sport in the movie is realistic. Like, I feel like, you know, these were made by filmmakers that understand the sport. And I think that a lot of times we get a lot of sports movies that suck because they don't fully understand the sport. You're getting somebody who doesn't quite know, you know, what a ball hit to right field looks like, right? And I feel like there's small details that really, there's stuff that really, I know, right. I'm going off on a tangent, but yeah.
It's funny that it's funny that you say that, though. You are absolutely right. I am drawn to the grander story within a sports movie. I mean, For the Love of the Game is one of my favorite mm-hmm. sports movies of all time.
And that's not about baseball,
hardly at all. No. And it's like, I like when they tie athletic achievement to American achievement.
Yeah.
I think that's really where I'm at.
The one that stands out is Miracle.
And is that not just baseball? There was a movie, Rush. Mm-hmm.
I was reading about Penny Marshall, right? And like how much this project meant a lot to her, and the studio was really trying to push Penny to have Tom Hanks, Jeanine Davis to hook up in the end. Mm. And she's like, no, that ruins the whole point of the movie. The point of the movie is about the game, not them. And she stuck to her guns. And you know what? Thank God she was able to fucking, like, you know, hold on her own regarding to what she wanted with the overall, you know, goal, what she wanted to do with this film. Because fuck that, dude. I'm so glad they didn't get together at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Dude.
Agreed. So is there some type of flirting or some type of connection between Jimmy Doogan and Dottie? Or is it just Jimmy Doogan in his head and he ends up actually liking her in a weird way?
Just, I think it's more Sean, you take it, and then I take it. Sean takes it,
They fall in love with each other. They fall in love with each other for sure. They're in love with each other.
No.
And what I love about this movie is it shows – absolutely. Okay. It shows enormous respect, because you see throughout the movie these women lose their husbands in war. And it brings Spaghetti back Betty. Gravity. Right. It brings back the gravity of World War II. And at this point, Gina Davis – doesn't know whether Bob is alive or dead. And so she says it at the beginning or middle of the movie, the letters sometimes take a year to get there from the time that they're dead. So it's like the love of her life or Bob could be dead at any moment. And so she is going to me, she falls for Doogan and respects the marriage so much that she's just not going to do anything about it.
I'm going
to
respect,
and that to me is just a beautiful, beautiful.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you and say that I think that what they have, I love even more, because it's not love. It's not mutual love for each other. It is a shared love for something beyond themselves, and that's baseball. Whatever Dottie wants to tell herself, it's bullshit. Baseball means everything to her, right? It means everything to her. And obviously you've got Jimmy, who baseball means everything to him, and he has nothing but regrets. And what he sees in her is a chance to to kind of live vicariously again, to see somebody who loves the game as much as him go on and do great things in the game, that I see it's a respect, it's a mutual respect for each other. But never once, and it's interesting you say that, but never once did I ever think that there was an inkling of romantic connection. So Jeremiah, I want to hear your thoughts.
There was a couple of moments on the bus. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I totally get it right there. And I hear what you're saying, Sean, and I can see where you're coming from. But from what I was watching the film, I just thought there was just an appreciation to one another, you know, that there was a respect to the game. And, you know, there's certain people that you know, they play baseball, but there are certain people that they live baseball. And I feel like those two people kind of have like that understanding with one another.
And that's what made the story great. I mean, that's what made the story compelling, is like when Bob comes back toward the end of the movie and she's basically going to skip out on the last couple of games.
The World Series.
Yeah. And he's like, that's it? Like, I thought we were more important to you than this. And she kind of goes, no, Bob's important. And this is, to me, like the housewife mentality fighting against this new frontier of women where they can go out and do anything, which
well fucking
is,
said,
is so
Sean.
Prevalent in the movie. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she says, you know, Bob's like, no, it's like, you know, part of it is acquiescence on the husband's part, but go do what you love. Go explore.
I have a question for you guys, because this, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is not my favorite movie. In fact, this is not even a movie that I would necessarily say I really like. I appreciate elements of it. What pisses me off is that my favorite, I would say one of my very favorite quotes of life, not just of movies, but of life, comes from this fucking movie. And it's hard because I literally have used, in my own life, the heart is what makes it great. Like, to me, that defines my perception of the world, that we do what we do and we struggle through what we struggle in order to become whatever we become. So, I mean, so it's really hard because I'm really torn, because there are aspects of this movie that really piss me off and I really don't like. And then we've got that quote from Jimmy Dugan. We have to talk about that. But I do have a question for you guys, because this is something that really pisses me off. What are your thoughts on Kit? We need to talk about Kit as a character.
Okay, you did.
I think
so. I've got an answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I personally think she's, I mean, I think she is always in her sister's shadow, but I think she put herself there as a crutch. And I think in the very beginning, probably at home, she always was able to be behind Dottie and just take the easy streak but now she actually figured out, like, hey, I like baseball too. And I think she's really good at it in her own way, but hey, it's like, you know, it's like Trout and Ohtani on the same team. Like, you're gonna, one of them is gonna shine over the other one. And I think Kit is really a good pitcher. Like, I really think she's a good pitcher. I think, I'm upset that she got traded. But overall, I think she's.
Do you like her as a person, though, Ed? Like, do you root for her as a human being?
No,
because I don't. She's a.
I don't like
piece
that she
shit.
Whined.
She really.
That's
her character.
Exactly what I have in my notes. Like, during the whole movie, she fucking annoys me.
It's a little sister, like, poor me attitude. But overall, she had to step up, and she did. She played her character good in my eyes.
She played it good.
I have a hard time disliking Kit for a couple reasons, and I think the first is that she has lived under the shadow of Dottie her entire life, and this is a great story about breaking free of the preconceived notions that are placed upon you. She was never as good as Dottie, and all of a sudden, she started to try and break free of that. Yeah, she won. Blamed everyone else. But at the end of the day, Eddie's right. She took the ball. She changed teams. She decided to change teams. She didn't get traded. She decided to leave to try and forge ahead herself and to prove that she was just as good as her sister.
I thought
she got traded.
No, she got traded. She chose to leave.
She got traded. Why? No, she came traded. In and threw a baseball through a window.
Yeah, she got traded, bro.
She was pissed.
Because the commissioner was trying to keep Dottie. Yeah, Dottie was about to leave. Keep Dottie happy. And then, okay, we'll just do something with Kit. And then she didn't know she was pretty much pushing Kit out of the team.
Yeah, I think that I already know you guys' answer to this. So, Jeremiah, maybe this is more to you. Do you like it that she was the one that was on the winning team, that she's the one that won the game for them?
No, Dottie would never have dropped that fucking ball. Dottie would never have dropped that fucking ball.
Did she drop it on purpose?
Get angry.
Did she drop it on purpose?
That was my question to you.
Of course she did.
She dropped it on purpose.
Exactly.
No, she fucking made her feel shitty to make her drop the fucking ball. And she dropped the ball at the end of the fucking movie, dude. It wasn't her knocking.
Dottie never drops the ball. Dottie never
exactly.
She's a catcher. You don't know what catchers do. You hold the ball like this in the mid here, and you know you're going to get hit. You don't hold it like this. Come on. What the fuck is this shit? What is this Olay bullshit?
So there's one thing that she just like – she got the single, and she drove in two runs right before that. And she saw how it affected her sister, and she couldn't even make eye contact with Dottie at first base, right? So – when it was Kit's time to be at bat and there was two outs, right? So it was one last out. You see, realistically, as a baseball, Dottie called timeout, gave Kit time to focus and relax, take a deep breath. That was on purpose. I feel like she did that eventually as an older sister. Like, hey, I need to give my sister some time here and give her some high ones also. Like,
exactly. I also think that she was she knew what she was looking for. She knew she was looking for a high one. And that to me, like.
Does that bother you, Sean? Does that bother you?
Yeah.
God damn it, it bothers me.
But this is the shit out of me. It's the only. There's only like three parts of this movie I don't like. That's one of them.
It's beautiful. I think Dottie realized she was only playing because of her sister. She wanted to play with her sister. It didn't matter win or lose.
I can see that.
She wanted her sister to win.
But you have allegiance to your fucking team.
She literally bullied her sister to fucking lose, man. And I'll tell you this much. Even though it was a bullshit ending, I feel like when she hit that ball, I have never seen an actor playing baseball and run the fucking bases like that in a fucking movie. That is like the definition of how to run the bases around first, second, and third. It was unbelievable. I still get chills when I watch that scene because she's literally like a bat out of hell, man, running around the bases and shit. And it's one of the coolest fucking scenes.
Like Major League, bro. It reminded me of Major League. Major League was my favorite.
That's a good one.
Baseball.
Well, that was a great one. Come on. That was a good ending right there. That was a great fucking ending.
Great ending. But let's back up a little bit and let's talk about – I want to talk about a couple of different instances. I want to talk about their recruitment. I want to talk about that when they show up to Harvey Field and you meet some of the other players.
You mean Wrigley Field?
And then I really want to take a dive into Dugan. So when they're on the farm and they're playing that baseball in the field, and you got John Lovitz. To me, this is John Lovitz's best and only character when he passes away, this should be his entire fucking filmography. And it's like, Field, go play.
Oh, see, that was my line. God damn it. I missed it.
Go on the train.
So the other thing I caught was how authentic the play was. And I know, Brandon, this is one of your big pet peeves is like when, Pierce Brosnan hitting a golf ball is the worst thing in the world. It's like when James Bond, you just don't show it. It's awful. It's terrible. But I felt like these girls did such a beautiful job, even if it was stunt doubles, whatever they did to film the film, it felt like they were playing baseball.
The casting was amazing.
It really did feel very authentic.
Dude, Madonna, all the way May.
Dude, Madonna was awesome in this fucking movie, dude. She was so great.
It's true, though, Sean.
But everyone had to play baseball. Yeah. You know?
Well, you look at the swings, and I tend to look for the swings. I mean, yeah, throwing, but everybody has a weird throw. But literally every swing was nice and smooth, and it was straight across. It was textbook swinging. And I mean, I'll give this movie that the casting.
And even
fantastic.
If it wasn't perfect, the ball was snappy. It wasn't cut like there was no bad cuts.
No,
like you know how a perfect example is when you're watching Arrested Development and it's a softball episode, and Will Arnett hits this, pops it up to the catcher, and it's supposed to be a home run, and he looks up at the catcher, and then it cuts to like a home run. I'm like, that's how bad of a hitter Will Arnett is. That's the best cut they had.
So who do you think's the actual best hitter in real life on that team?
Marla fucking Hooch.
Okay, yes,
Marla Hooch.
Oh, yeah.
She was, Hooch was think, the best bro, player
I think
on that
she's
team,
really a
man.
Switch hitter, bro. I think she really is a switch hitter.
Wasn't that scene amazing with her and her father where, she actually confronts John Lovett's character?
Yeah. It starts when she goes up and she apologizes to him, and that one hits hard.
Oh,
right,
dude.
And that's what inspires him. And what I love, though, real quick, Sean, what I love about that is he doesn't come at Lovitz's character with anger or even frustration, but this own sense of like remorse and guilt for having done this. I mean, it's a beautiful moment of regret and triumph at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And if you look at her story is the best. She meets Nelson. They fall in love. They go have kids. Like, they have a great life together.
Came back next season. Right. They played again.
And she also batted .500 during the season. I mean, she's fucking awesome, dude.
I also love how I think they made the sisters perfectly. They didn't even say anything besides, like, they just drop their badge and they're like, we're not leaving until she's with us on this train. Like, both of them. Yeah. That was pretty cool to see that.
That was, it was a beautiful. And, you know, my favorite part of this movie is the cast. The not just Betty or not just Dottie and Kit, but Madonna. I mean, I'm not a Madonna fan. She was delightful in this movie.
She was
awesome. So funny, a little raunchy. She was just perfect.
How come she didn't do more roles, actually, after this
Dick
movie?
Tracy. Man, Dick Tracy took her
on. Dick Tracy.
Because she's a singer first.
And don't quote me on this, but I think she's very difficult to work with. I think she was one of those people that was demanding and hard. Because you wonder why certain actresses and actors don't get a lot of great roles. And it's sometimes you're like, it's easier not to deal with them. Yeah. I mean, I think personally, Russell Crowe is so hard to work with. He can only work with like three directors because he's just so fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's like Ridley Scott. Hey, all right, I got a role for you.
Because
Ridley Scott's kind of equally an asshole. Yeah.
No, I'm going to throw out an unpopular opinion, and I know you're probably going to crucify me for this one, and that's fine. But literally, I mentioned before that I love making lists. And if I had a list of the top actors and actresses that I just can't stand, Gina Davis is at the very, very top of that list. I am not a Gina Davis fan.
Why is that? That's interesting.
Well, I think that she's not a good actress. I think that she's probably a fantastic person. This is nothing against her as a human being.
Can I make a suggestion for you to watch?
Cutthroat Island. Fucking awful Island movie.
With Matthew Modine. And Ben Frank Langella. It's fantastic. It's
awful. It was so bad.
It destroyed a studio.
I just don't feel like she's a strong enough actress to carry the movie. And I can think of so many other actresses. And I do think that that's actually the reason why this movie doesn't stand out as really good, in my opinion. And that's because I just feel like Gina Davis just is of a really good cast. She doesn't hold her own.
I would disagree with you. I think this is probably this this and Beetlejuice are her two best roles.
Yeah. Brian, I disagree with you. I think Gina Davis was a perfect role in this movie. And I feel like the actress played a good part. I feel like she...
Yeah.
I believe that she was that older sister who was just, you know what, I want to get married. I want to have many kids. And, you know, I'm just playing baseball just to pass some time here just because my sister wants to play. And I don't know.
But let me ask you a question here.
Well, Tom Hanks, guys.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about. Would you think this is probably one of his better roles of him just being a fucking dick or something like that? Because this is kind of like
his best role.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like his most like underrated role. And it's fucking... It's funny to watch Tom Hanks in this movie.
What I love about this is his transition period, right? That he was the bosom buddies. He was the splash. He was one of my favorite movies is The Burbs, right? The 80s comedy go-to guy. And then 90s, we get to see him in things like Philadelphia and obviously go on to Saving Private Ryan, where it goes like uber extreme, Forrest Gump. This is where he's playing kind of this beautiful amalgamation mishmash of both the funny and the serious. Right. There are two scenes in this movie that stand out as one of the best scenes in movies. One is his speech to Gina Davis about, you know, the heart is what makes it great. But the other is when Betty gets the telegram and the look on Tom Hanks's face and his movement from joking, I'm going to get a raise if we make it to playoffs, da da da, everybody's laughing, ha ha, or they're not really laughing, and he's laughing, to just this idea of being the comforting person that he needs to be in that moment. I know some people don't like Tom Hanks as a person, as an actor, but I think that these two scenes really do a good job of highlighting his range and his ability to both be a comedic actor but also a serious and dramatic actor at the same time.
So I would say my favorite scene of Tom Hanks in this movie was he was just reading the newspaper and he was looking at Gina Davis, and I think she was just about to have a squeeze for Marla Hooch, right? And they're just battling back and forth for the signs.
With the signs.
Yeah. And then he like looks over there, he's like, who's managing this club? And then, you know, well then act like it, you jackass or something like that. And then he goes with it. And then it's just a beautiful scene. Made me laugh. And it's like he came into his own as a real coach in that scene. And
yeah, maybe that's the reason why I like him so much, because he reminds me of some of the coaches I had back in the day.
Ex-player coaches. Asshole's the worst.
Not a fan of Tom Hanks at all. This movie is, in my opinion, one of his best roles. I couldn't agree with Brandon Moritz's transition movie from being a strictly comedic, kind of foolish actor to a more serious actor. And I will say that when they're on the bus, there's a couple of beautiful scenes between him and Gina Davis talking about baseball, talking about strategy, talking about the team. And Jeremiah hit the nail on the head when he Eddie, when you said he became a manager and he became himself again. And it's almost like he was renewed. And I think that part of that was his guilt that he couldn't go into World War II. And so there's an element of shame, or there's an element of self-loathing, I think, that goes throughout this movie and all the men. And I think it comes through in Dugan's character with his shame, his drinking, his, you know, just kind of his whole life.
But you got to admit, Sean, like that scene where he, you know, he goes, Evelyn, come here. And it's like literally like one of the best, it's one of the best baseball scenes, because seriously, like he's literally like a coach. Our dad was like that. You just like, you know, come here. I really want you to hit the cutoff, man. That's all I fucking want you to do in your life. You know,
in the off season,
you know,
Evelyn.
So
Evelyn.
She's the reason why they lost the whole series, right, Evelyn?
Oh no,
she missed two.
No, it's
she missed two different. She missed two different. Cutoffs.
Agreed. God damn it, so, Eddie, you're so right. I'm on your side.
Two different times she missed
that cutoffs. That actress is Biddy Schrum, and Biddy Schrum was actually in the show Monk, the Emmy award winning show Monk with Tony Shalhoub.
She was the other character from what
she
Tony?
Was. Yeah, she was until Taylor Howard replaced her. She was his nurse, his aide, and she was freaking great on that show. She was fantastic.
Everyone was on their shit on this movie. Everyone was so good in this fucking movie. There was not one.
I mean, Tia Leone was in there somewhere on
she
one.
She was.
Teams.
She was on the other team, dude.
Yes.
I love Tia Leone. I do want to talk a little bit about Bill Pullman. I know we joked about it, but Bill Pullman and David Strathairn, because I think David Strathairn has turned into one of these actors that.
Which one's he now? Go ahead.
So he's Ira. He's Ira. He's the
one that kept the team alive. Yeah,
he kept the league alive. Yes. And he has been in, I want to say, 100 films. I mean, seriously. Just all over the place.
Yeah.
And he never really gets the credit he deserves, because he is just one of those just fucking, like, he's a Gary Oldman type great actor.
Yeah.
And he never gets any recognition. He has wonderful hair. Never gets any recognition at all. I mean, he's been in the Bourne movies. He's been in, I mean, we're talking like.
What was that one
great
movie?
Academy Award winning movie?
Good Night, Good Luck.
So Good Night, Good Luck was his only movie.
Good Night, Good Luck. He was Edward R. Murrow. But,
and this was that's the thing with him is that was his only movie where he was the lead, right? And there's some guys, and I don't understand why, that just don't get the roles offered to them that they should. One of my favorite movies, and it's not a movie that we'll ever do, so I'm going to go ahead and plug it right now, because it's one of the most underrated quality movies ever. It's another 90s movie. Is a movie called Sneakers. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And it's got Robert Redford.
Sneakers with Sydney Poitier.
Sydney Poitier
River
is in
Phoenix?
It.
What's wrong
River
with you?
Phoenix. Yeah, River
it's,
Phoenix,
it's
Sydney Poitier.
It's one of my very favorite movies, right? And
David Strathairn plays
David
the blind
Strathairn
guy.
Is the blind guy. And I remember that was the first movie that I ever saw him in. And I remember I was a kid, you know, and I remember asking my parents, like, is he really blind? Because I believed it. There's a scene where he drives and he's blind. And I, you know, it's this comedic moment. In
Fumbles. I think his name was Fumbles.
I can't remember what his name is. But anyway, but that movie opened my eyes to this guy that I just feel deserves so much more praise and so much more credit than he gets. So plug for David Strathairn out there.
Yeah, but
for
sure. I would say the same thing for Bill Pullman. Like, I don't know how he didn't become a movie star.
I think
you know
he
what
pulled
saying?
Himself out.
Did he really? Yeah. Because seriously, like, it felt like he was on the edge. Like,
with
you know,
Independence Day.
He had Why You Were Sleeping. He had Independence Day. He should be a bigger movie star. That's all I'm trying to say. Come on, Lake Placid. I know it's kind of like a fucking B-rated movie.
Is this
fucking
the man Casper. Who was killed?
Casper. It's all you gotta say, Jeremiah. It's just Casper.
Casper. That's right.
Fucking
Casper.
Movie.
Casper.
Was
Independence Day. Possibly one of the best presidents in movies Like, I'll follow you in the battle, President. You fly that plane up there with us.
By the way, Sneakers was 1992 as well. Mm. There was not a movie in the 90s that Bill Pullman was not in.
You know, I read a fun fact about this movie, dude, that this is still the highest grossing baseball movie of all time.
Is it like, really?
And you think about, like, with, like, Brad Pitt's, like, Moneyball came out, you know, Chadwick Boseman, 42, came out.
Even Major League, this is still, Sandlot, and all these other
stuff. Yeah, this is still the highest baseball movie of all time, man. And that says a lot about this film, man, when you think about it. It still holds up, dude. Like, you can just watch it, and all of a sudden it comes on. No matter where you're going to be at the film, you're just kind of going on, like, yeah, I'll finish the fucking movie. Fuck
yeah.
Yeah, the list goes A League of Their Own at 107 million lifetime gross, 42.95, Moneyball's in third, The Rookie, Field of Dreams, The Benchwarmers.
No, we can't count. That's like calling basketball a basketball movie. I mean, come on.
You say that like adding basketball or basketball?
Basketball. Benchwarmers was hilarious.
I love basketball, by the way. That's a guilty pleasure of mine for sure. Sean, have you seen basketball?
Oh, God, for the love of the... No.
Oh, my God. It's so worth it.
Okay. I have a question for you on the ending of this movie, okay? So we move beyond the actual game ending. Do you think they should have left it the 1940s? Or what do you think about bringing it into the modern times?
Oh, I got a thought on that.
And showing you, like, the old versions of the characters.
So
what did you think?
I'm going to step up first real quick. I watched the beginning of the movie, right? You got the 90s sappy music. You've got the 90s sappy wardrobe. You've got the 90s
Madonna. This used to be my playground. Right?
That's a great song, by the way.
It's a great song. It's a sappy ass. It's a sappy ass song.
No, it's also Hans Zimmer's score, dude.
What I'm saying is I hated the beginning. I hated the ending. We should have just kept it. Sometimes we don't need to bookend shit. Sometimes we can just tell a story that happens in the moment. We don't need to always be looking back on something and retroactively making a comment on what happened to lead us to a point. I wish that we had opened up with the farm. I wish that we had ended with Dottie and Kit giving each other a hug and saying, see you at Christmas, maybe.
She dropped the ball. Right? She dropped the ball.
No, you end the movie there, though, and I will fucking walk out.
Do you not like movies like that? Do you not like movies like that, or you just don't like the movie in this?
No, I think in general, I'd say I don't like that because I think it's a cop-out. I really do. And I feel like there's very few
movies.
So like
The Prestige. Wasn't there bookends in The Prestige?
No. That's not.
No. He's saying no. He's saying time change. He's saying like
looking back
when you start – and you look back and you create kind of like, yeah. Like, I think The Hobbit, for a perfect example, is The Hobbit was unnecessary.
Yeah.
You didn't need Elijah Wood. You didn't need that whole, like, transition.
Just tell a fucking story.
Like,
right?
You know, the scene, like, they're looking at a wallet, you know, and all of a sudden they look at the wallet, and all of a sudden the wallet is, like, you know, from, you know, 40 years from ago. Here we go. We just transitioned to
sometimes
this time.
Sometimes it's okay, right? Sometimes it's okay. And more times than not, it's okay. And we should be starting a movie at the beginning of the story and then ending the movie at the ending of the story and not do. And the reason they did this is to make this political point. And politics, by the way, is not a four-letter word. So I don't think we need to avoid it, right? But the political point is simply to say that look at what these women have done and we should honor them and we are honoring them, right? That's a political point. And I think that that's awesome. I think that's awesome, but at the same time, I do think it detracts from the movie because the story is about what happened in 1942, 43, and not what happened in 1994.
40, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, 1943. Right. But so in that sense, we're mixing purposes of the film. Eddie?
So originally, I was going to say, when you first started, Sean, I was going to say, I didn't like how they ended it with – I wish they would almost end it as soon as, like, after they say bye and you're on the bus and they go their own ways. But I see why they had to bring in the players because I feel like Dottie lost herself, right? A little bit. She had a whole nother personality that she kept closed in the dark as soon as, like, Bob, as soon as he died. And she realized, like, oh shit, like, I have a lot of friends here and a lot of people were looking for me and they're happy. And I was one of the greats. I have more than just Bob. Like, I have my, right. I have my sister here and I have all these friends here. They threw the ball at her face and she still caught it. Dottie. Like, it was meant for her to reconnect with her teammates that she left too soon. Yeah.
She unlocked a piece of herself that she had kept hidden. That's perfect. That's perfect, Eddie. That's perfect.
But the ending, I'll just leave it at this. It's not one of my favorites, but I understand it because I believe most of them are actresses, but you actually see the real players play.
Yeah, that's right. That there was more real players than actresses.
Yeah.
That's why they did it. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool that they actually give like, you know, a nod to them. They're like, hey, you know, thank you. And what you've done, this is your story. And I really do like that shit, dude. I think that was pretty cool.
So, Gina Davis's daughter, Dottie's daughter didn't go with her to this, and then Kit's whole family was there.
But you see, like, Kit was the only one. But this is so Kit. She's the only one who brought her family. Was Kit?
I think Dottie didn't bring her kids. I think Dottie needed to do it on her own. Dottie regretted not going back. Dottie regretted not making baseball a big part of her life, and she chose Bob, and she chose the family, the support, the farm, the system. And Kit kind of went against that, and Kit went, you know, and it showed that they both could have a good life. They both could have what they wanted. I'm not a huge fan of when they do this, when they flash forward. I didn't really like it in Saving Private Ryan. The last person I should see in the movie is the original cast, not other people.
It's about what they did in that moment
for four minutes.
Right? It's about what they did in that moment of history. And yes, it might have colored the rest of their lives and it might have shaped history in a lot of ways. But the point of the movie to me is this season, this moment, the first season of the inaugural season of this league. And I think that we should have kept it focused.
That being said, that did break it down a little bit for me. And it was a wonderful way to go out. Because that song, I'm sorry, is beautiful. It's like a little beautiful ode to, and the girl who wrote it was the Biddy Shrum. She died. Her son was there.
Yeah, it kind of made me sad. Like, you know, Dugan's not there, you know, died like 5 years before this whole thing happened and shit, dude.
So,
I'm surprised he actually lived that long.
I was going to say that. So he had a bad alcohol problem. And you know who saved him from quitting his alcohol was Dottie. Because on the bus, you know, he was always looking at his little flask and he was always doing it. And she's like, oh, let me see that. And then she opened up a Coke and gave it to him. And I feel like she helped Dugan live longer than he was supposed to. Then in his head, he thought he was going to go out like, you know, 55. And he ended up being right towards his 80s, I guess.
And that brings us to the end of review. Now it's time in the podcast where each of the hosts provides their score on the following scale. Stewell, Angel, over there. Can you provide the scale, please?
Yes. 0, the perfect movie. You don't need shit to enjoy it. 1, a feel-good first cocktail. 2, a happy buzz. 3, you're going to Uber or Lyft home. 4, rough morning walk to shame. 5, blackout, shit-faced, spring rate drunk. Gentlemen, I was first last time. I'm going to go with Jeremiah.
No problem. As I was rewatching this movie, I feel like this is one of those movies that I've said this before in the podcast, you know, a few episodes, like anytime it comes on, no matter what scene it's playing, I'm going to be hooked and I'm going to watch it. That's just how this movie is, you know? It's like listening to like a record, right? You know, and you know that certain songs, you're just going to stop and listen to certain songs. And that's what this movie is. Like, there's certain scenes in the movies that you're just going to stop and you're just going to fucking enjoy it, you know? And what I really like about this movie that it still holds up is that it just feels timeless. This movie is like over 30 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have like, you know, any tag, doesn't have like a timeline, like, oh, that's because it was in the 90s or it was a 2000. I think the acting's great. I think that it's one of the best sports movies out there. Baseball playing, any type of sports movie, I think it's one of the best sports movies because I think it's just like really on par shit right there, man. There's some scenes where I didn't care about it, you know, because I'm older. I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know. I didn't really care about the intro of the movie, but I really did like the ending of the movie, man. So, you know, man, I had a good time with this fucking movie. You should definitely watch it when you get a chance. It's on Netflix. I'm not trying to plug in Netflix, but I'm just saying that if you want to see something that's, you know what, get you escape from the shitty world that's out there and whatnot, dude, this is a good fucking movie to watch, man. It's a happy buzz for me. It's a 2 drink here. I really enjoy this fucking movie, guys. Brandon, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I think that you have some great analogies, and I'm just going to spin those analogies a little bit. All right, you talk about a movie that you walk in and saw on the TV and you just stop and watch it. And I think that I agree with you halfway. And then you said it's like an album where you have your favorite songs and you're waiting for those favorite songs. So for me, I look at it and go, there are some of my favorite moments in movies, favorite scenes in movies in this movie. And it's one of those things where if I'm walking in and it's on the TV and one of those moments is about to come on, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch that moment. Then I'm going to get up and walk out. I think that the movie for me frustrates me a lot because I feel like we just don't connect enough with Kit to warrant her winning in the end. It bothers me. I know that it's life and sometimes, you know, there's winners and there's losers. Absolutely. I get it. But the way that she wins, right? She runs through a stop, you know, holding up, telling her to stop at third base. She wins because her sister probably drops the ball to let her win. I just think it pisses me off. It goes against what sports is, and sports is all about doing your best regardless of whether you win or lose. Well, Kit couldn't stand losing, and so we just pandered to her. We just give her what she wants, right? And it just pisses me off. It's a good movie. It's not a great movie. And so for that, I'm going to give it a happy buzz. I think it is an average movie, so I'm going to say a happy buzz with, what is it, a shot? I'm going to say it's a 2.5 for me. It's a 2.5 because of that scene and that speech that Jimmy gives Dottie. I mean, that whole idea of why do we do the things that we do? We do the things that we do. We put ourselves through the torture that we put ourselves through because that's what makes us who we are. And I think that if we can all take something from this movie, we should take that notion that we need to put our work in because, you know what? Sometimes good things do come out of hard work. So 2.5 from me. And Eddie, what you got?
I love that, Brandon. I love it. It was good. It's, you know, it's the heart of what makes it great, right? Mm-hmm. So like life in general, I mean, that quote hits all sports and just all of life. Mm-hmm. I do like the ending of this movie of how I feel like Gina Davis' character, Dottie, she happiness comes from many different ways. And in her eyes, she was truly happy to see her sister win. And she wanted to do whatever it takes for her sister to win. And I think, you know, happiness is in the eye of the beholder there. And I feel like just the way that she was looking at her sister cheering, she wanted to give something to her sister. And it's a nice little, you know, she said, oh, she wanted it more than I did. Or you wanted it more than I did. And you know, and then Kate was saying, well, you know, thank you for getting me in the league. And says, you got yourself in this league, you know. And she did, because you look at the whole tryouts. Kit was a ball player. Her character, when she was the Peaches, she was whiny as hell. I liked her more on the other Racine team, where you get to see one game of that maybe, or a couple games of that. But I think she came into her own away from Dottie. But the whole team, the whole Peaches, it was beautifully, like, I felt in a part of this team. And like Jeremiah and Brandon said, like, when this movie comes on, it could be a scene that I want to sit down, that maybe there's certain scenes that I, you know, that just make me laugh and makes me want to see it again over and over again. And then, you know, if you get me at the right time of the day, I'm going to sit down and just probably finish the movie. There's little parts here and there that, you know, it doesn't hold up with baseball, some baseball knowledge. It holds up pretty well, but there's some little things that I can pick apart a baseball movie real quickly to see, okay, well, that's not realistic. But anyways, for me, it's a 2. I think a 2 is a good score for this movie. It's a happy buzz. And that's where I'm going to leave it, this movie. Sean, let's wrap it up.
All right. So I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I don't disagree with Gina. I do disagree with Gina Davis being, you know, like as bad as you're saying she is. I don't think she's necessarily bad. I just don't think she's good. So there's a difference, right? So did she distract and detract from the movie? Not really. Was she a star? Like, did she shine in the movie? Not like Tom Hanks did. Not like some of the other character actors did. I thought, you know, you had some bright spots. Yeah, I thought Rosie O'Donnell, I'll very rarely say good things about Rosie O'Donnell. This was a triumph for her. This was wonderful. I loved every moment she was on screen. She was funny. She was charming. She was wonderful. Madonna, I could say the same thing. I thought that the supporting cast, the supporting characters, the way it was written, the respect the director showed with the time period and the seriousness of the topic while still letting it breathe and be funny and happy and wonderful. And then you had this comedy with Tom Hanks that was always being kind of hit with the reality of World War II. You know, the team's doing really well. Everyone's doing great. Everything's going hunky-dory. And then someone loses their husband and has to leave. And it's it becomes grounded in reality very quickly. Once again, Tom Hanks brought it home. Tom Hanks was the heart and soul of this movie, and his evolution really was beautiful. I love the message of the movie. There isn't much I can say about this movie that's, you know, that's going to bring it down. Only that as a whole, I don't think this movie is an upper echelon movie. I think it's kind of a good average movie that I just seem to enjoy really a lot. And so it's hard for me to score it in the one or, you know, even a two. It feels disingenuous because this movie is not like, it's not Scarface or Saving Private Ryan or Star Wars. It's not this beautiful cinematic wonder. It's kind of just a really good sports movie.
So it's an average movie. See, I go so ahead, for join me.
It's an average movie. So it's a 2.5. And I feel bad giving it a 2.5 because that feels like a really heavy score. But it's a good 2.5. Everyone should watch this movie. Everyone should enjoy this movie. And it is what it is.
I think you hit it on the head. And I mean, honestly.
All right, Jeremy, when we take those – or Ed, when we take those four scores and divide by four, what does League of Their Own get an average rating of?
It gives us a 2.25.
See, so I mean, it's just above an average movie.
2.25.
I'm gonna say it, Sean. I think it's probably where it should be. You know,
I think so too. To be honest,
it's tied 37 on the list with a lot of movies that are actually ranked 2.25. This is why
I give crazy scores. Jim.
John Wick 2, Tombstone, Christmas Vacation, Twilight, Birdcage. That's a 2.25 right there. So it's in that category.
Generally speaking, I think it's where it is where it should be.
Yeah, you look at them; they're all good movies. They're just not amazing, you know.
And if you look at something like Twilight, I mean, we beat that thing up pretty bad, and it still was an enjoyable damn movie. So
yeah.
Yep, I like that.
Oh God, waiting for New Moon coming out pretty soon.
No, it's this idea though that these are good movies, but they're not groundbreaking movies. They're not changing the face of cinema, which is really what we kind of set out to do as our goal. You know.
Yep. And the difference from realistically, I think the difference from going from a 2 to a 1. It should be a big jump. Realistically, I think we're all on the same page with that idea. It's like, this movie is great and something I enjoy, a great sports movie, but it's where it's supposed to belong on this scale for us. Mm-hmm.
I can agree with that. So, all right. Okay. That brings us to the end. And what's if next, I could scroll, then I'd be good. Jeremy, what do we have coming up next on our list of movies?
I know this is
the big mystery every month is what Jeremy's going to come up with because I don't know if you all know about our process, but we basically the three hosts we pick our movies in advance, all of them for the whole season. And sometimes we make adjustments. Yeah. We do.
That's Sean, Brandon, and Eddie talking about that.
And then there's Jeremy, who then he makes his picks, but they're never quite settled. We've been trying to do. I think the movie we're doing next. We've been trying to do this for four or three seasons, whatever the hell season we're on. It's like the second movie that he suggested this movie, and I think what he's afraid of is that we're going to destroy it. Yep. We're going to rip it apart. And I can tell you right now, if it's the movie I think it is, we're not going to rip it apart. It's a wonderful movie.
Or are we, Sean? That's a good question.
You gotta lull him into submission here.
Still gonna change it right now. I think I'm gonna keep it in here, man, because it's gonna get close to our spectacular Halloween season, and I'm gonna go with a personal favorite of mine, Clue, the 1985 film with Tim Curry, great cast, and we're gonna go with it. You know, if you guys rip it apart, I think it's gonna be a fun movie to talk about, and I guarantee you that.
I agree.
For fucking sure.
And in all reality, it's got just absolutely fantastic actors in it. I'm looking forward to it. All right. If you enjoyed our review or are a fan of the podcast, we ask you, please subscribe wherever you're listening. Please. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Physical reviews with actual words make a big difference.
Please
in our,
do that.
In our ratings as we move up with our viewership. We're actually seeing a huge surge and increase. And you can view us on Instagram at the.gentlemanpodcast. The dot means a lot. You can visit our website, thegentlemanpodcast.com. Or if you want to reach out to us, you can do so by email. Keep the profanity to a minimum. At host.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I don't score like all everyone wants me to score.
.com. You don't score logically or
you're such a rebel.
Anyway, thank you. We want to just reach out to the audience. Scum. And really, we've seen a huge viewership increase in season 4. And the only way that that's possible is if you, the listener, is telling people about it. And so we really appreciate all your work. And we ask that you please
thank you so
tell
much.
Your friends, tell your family, expand us even more. We're getting to a point where we're actually starting to gain traction in the bigger markets. And that's very fun. So please, please, please tell everyone you know about us who is interested in movies. We're a hoot. So that's all I can say.
Boom.
Thank you for listening.
You guys are the best, man.
And cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers to you guys.
Peace out.
Thank you.